Now, within the concept of food, there are two things that you have to know. Number one is halal, and number two is tayyib. Halal and tayyib. These are two different things, and they're both emphasized within the Holy Quran. What halal means is that you eat food that is permissible to you. So some things are clear-cut haram. For example, pig. Clear-cut haram. You can't eat that. You can't eat that meat no matter what you do. And for example, the meat of a dead animal. That's clear-cut haram. The meat of a human being. Obviously that is haram. So those things are haram and we cannot eat of those. But similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Holy Quran, لا تأكلوا مما لم يذكر اسم الله عليه. Do not eat from that which Allah's name has not been set upon when you slaughter it. So, this is the general principle within the Sharia. All animals are haram to eat. Let's say there's a cow standing right here. You cannot go take a bite out of that cow. You have to slaughter him first. So the cow is actually haram. It is haram for you to eat that cow until you take a knife and you slaughter that cow with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah states it in the Quran. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا And do not eat. مِمَّا From whatever. Whatever. لَمْ يُبْكَرْ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ Allah's name is not taken upon it. Do not eat from anything that Allah's name is not taken upon, meaning any meat that Allah's name is not taken upon. So meat by default within the Sharia is automatically haram. Then you need 100% certainty that it was killed properly in order to make it halal. If you have meat and you are not 100% certain that it is killed properly, it is not halal. Let me give you an example from Bukhari. There was a man. He had a hunter dog. Now, the way people used to hunt in the time of the Prophet, they didn't have guns. They either had arrows, right? They would do archery. Or the people at that time would have hunter dogs. So they would train these dogs that when I send my dog, the dog will chase the animal, and they would train the dog to bite the vein and the artery of the animal and kill the animal in that means. Within the Sharia, when you want to kill an animal like that, and you have a hunter dog, you have to send it like this. Bismillah. You send the dog with Bismillah, and the dog runs, he bites the animal, and that counts as a tasmiyah, that counts as the Bismillah, that the name of Allah, which then subsequently kills that animal, and allows the blood to leak out. Alright? So you've got that background. Now there's a hadith in Imam Bukhari's book, in which there was a man with a hunter dog. He's hunting with his hunter dog. He sends the dog. He says, Bismillah. He sends his dog. The dog runs after the animal. It bites the animal in the neck. And the animal then he goes and chases after the dog and finds the animal dead. When he gets there, he sees two dogs. He sees his own dog and he sees another wild dog. So now he doesn't know. He has a doubt. Which one of these two dogs actually killed that animal? Was it the one with Bismillah? Or was it the random one that just came and bit that animal? And he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he asked the question, is this meat halal for me? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, it is not halal. Because an animal is by default haram until you make it halal with 100% certainty. You cannot leave something certain until you have 100% certainty. So you cannot just eat any old meat that you want and say, this is fine. People like to say, well, there's another hadith in Bukhari which says, just say Bismillah and eat it. That's another hadith in Bukhari. That hadith is not a full hadith in Bukhari. That's just a part of a full hadith. And the full hadith is that in that particular occasion, there was a group of Muslims who had just converted. And they sent a gift of meat to the Prophet ﷺ after converting. And Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet ﷺ, should we eat of this? Should we eat of this meat? And the Prophet ﷺ said, say Bismillah and eat it. So that was a scenario in that particular case. The reason why was because those new Muslims, that was a very dominant theme of Islam. That was something that was taught right away. Everybody knew that the Muslims eat the Muslims' meat. This was very common knowledge. So it is to be assumed in the case of a Muslim, when you know that they know this rule because it's so common and such a common theme in the deen, that therefore it must be okay. So say Bismillah and eat it, meaning your Bismillah will not make the food more halal, but Bismillah because you should say Bismillah before you eat anything. That's what that hadith means. That Bismillah is the Bismillah before you eat anything. And in fact, the fact that Aisha asked the Prophet ﷺ, should we eat of this, highlights that this was something dominant within even their house. Even within their house, this was a dominant concept that you cannot eat the food unless you are 100% certain. That's why she asked. Otherwise, why does she need to ask? She can just say Bismillah and eat. She's asking because this was a very, very common principle within her mind. It was something that came to her mind right away. you have to take all the hadith into account. Look at the ayah. The ayah tells you, do not eat from anything, anything. Mimma. Ma is mutlaq in the Arabic language. Do not eat from anything except that it has been slaughtered in the name of Allah. Then look at the hunter dog hadith in Bukhari. Then you see that there's shak there. There's not certainty as to which dog killed the meat. The meat's haram. Now put that all together and then add in this third hadith where it says, just say Bismillah and eat it. And you see that there's a theme here. And the theme is that meat is not halal until you have certainty that it's halal. So this is one argument that people like to give. They quote you this Bukhari hadith and then they say, well, you can go ahead and eat it. The second big argument that people like to make as to why you can eat any meat is they say, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the permission in the Holy Book to eat the meat of the Jews and the Christians. In the Holy Book, the Holy Quran equates the meat of the Jews and the Christians with the Muslims, meaning we have permission to eat from the meat of the Jews and the Christians. Fine, so let's grant that for a minute. If you grant that, then you have to assume that everybody, that if you go to Dominic's or you go to some grocery store and you pick up the meat, then you have to assume that that was killed by a Jew or a Christian. But this is not a Jewish or Christian society. There are Hindus in the society. There are Buddhists in the society. There are many atheists in the society. How do you know who killed the meat? You do not have 100% certainty. You have no idea who killed the meat when you go to the grocery store. You just get it in a package and you have no idea. So if you want to accept that argument for a moment, then you still don't have certainty. You have to be 100% certain about the meat. That's the rule. It is haram until proven halal. So you have to know that the people, where is it coming from and how is it being slaughtered before you can eat it. So even if you want to accept this argument, I mean, the same people who quote this, you know, when it comes to their children marrying Jews and Christians, and they freak out. Then they come and complain that my son went and he married a Christian and now the children have turned out like this. Well, the same ayah says you can marry Jews and Christians. You can marry the people of the Ahlul Kitab. So when it comes to meat, they want to consume it. When it comes to marriage, they want to ignore the ayah. The point is you have to have 100% certainty. Now, can I just say, I live in America, so I can marry any girl off the street and automatically assume she's a Jew or a Christian? No. If you go to a shopping mall and take a survey, many people will come out. Hindus will come out. Buddhists will come out. Atheists will exit from that door. They won't all be Jews and Christians. So you can't automatically assume just because there is a woman in this society, you could automatically marry her. In the same way, just because meat comes from some factory, you cannot automatically eat it. So you have to be very careful because this is a very serious issue. Look, I mean, this hadith is highlighting a very, very serious issue, and this is a major reason why many of us don't feel anything in our ibadat. We make dua to Allah, and we're begging from Allah, and then we don't get any result. And we pray to Allah, and we bow our heads, and we feel empty. And much of it has to do with the food that we eat. We're not careful enough. I'm not telling you, I haven't even gone into tayyib, but I'm just saying we should all come to the level of halal. That's mandatory on all of us. And it's so easy, subhanAllah. I mean, you have many good places where meat is sold on divan. You have to just make a very simple effort to go and pick it up, and it's available to you. And so we should be very, very careful about what we eat. We shouldn't go and just eat at any random place. If you're not as serious about your deen and you're willing to take that chance, then that's fine. But that chance is like poison. My Sheikh Zulfikar says, you know, when people ask him, can I go out to a restaurant and eat? Or can I eat anything random? He says, if I give you a bowl of candy, and there are 1,000 pieces of candy, and I say I poisoned one of them, go ahead and take a pick. Will you eat it? Most likely no, because you'll be afraid of a physical death. In the same way, you're likely to achieve a spiritual death if you eat the wrong thing at the wrong place. So we have to be very careful about the meat that we eat. We should not take it lightly. And what I'm presenting to you about the meat is the common dominant opinion of the four madhahib, all four madhahib. So we should be very, very careful. Now, people like to quote Imam Shafi'i and say, oh, Imam Shafi'i says that you can eat this meat. That's not true. There's much more behind it. I've even discussed this issue directly with Shaykh Nuh, who actually translated Reliance of the Traveler, and he is one of the most careful people about eating. He won't even eat at a dhabiha restaurant because he's afraid of the other aspects of the tayyib part of it. This is something we should take very, very seriously and not fool ourselves about because it has a very, very huge effect on our ibadah. And that's all we have. If we don't have our ibadah, what's left? What's left? Our ibadah is essential to us. We have to begin to experience it. So that's the first concept, and that is eating halal.